I'd like to call this meeting to order. The requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, 231, PL 1975, has been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette, posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And have a roll call, please.
Gleba, here. Jones.
Here.
Torres. McDonald.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Higgins. Thompson.
Here.
First up, we have the minutes of November 5th meeting.
Make a motion, we receive and file the minutes.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Up to council appearances. I think I'm going to deviate from the order a little bit and let Shade Tree go first.
What a god.
Well, I know Sandy's long-winded.
Oh, she promised.
She said we'd be short tonight.
I'm not exactly sure why I'm here. Christine told me to show up, in case you had any questions, I guess.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions.
Basically, you can see I went for humor when I wrote this.
Okay.
I just had questions about the trees.
We didn't get that, we only got the list.
You didn't get?
No.
Oh.
You just got.
Shall I read it?
Yeah, go ahead, humor us.
I said, "On behalf of the Shade Tree Commission, I would like to thank the council and the borough manager for increasing our budget by $2,000 in a year 2014. We respectfully request the same budget, or if you find any extra money around, to increase the budget. We're still faced with the maintenance of many trees which exceed our budget. We will apply for a maintenance grant should it be offered by the state. It wasn't offered last year. There are only 3 volunteers on the commission, and there should be 5. So if you could come up with some new volunteers, it would be appreciated. Respectfully submitted." Which, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing all the time.
And Rich, you had some questions?
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions. One is that the trees in the park, why are they being trimmed or cut down?
They were being cut down because they're Norway maples and they were in bad shape. We had them evaluated.
Yep.
We may be.
There's other trees around that should be a little bit higher priority than the park.
Well, that was the park. We had to, that was the park project. And we had money this year for the park, because we can't always do the park. So that was part of the park project. There were trees by the swing sets that were very dangerous.
The children?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking like the ones out by the.
I know you are. They were growing into the wires. They get hacked every year. You know, because we can't.
I'm just saying, there's other roads that have trees that are in bad shape than what the park is.
Yes, but that was our park project.
Okay, and this is your proposal for the coming year?
No, well, that's just what needs to be done that we know of right now.
And what's your main priority for the coming year?
Pardon me?
What's your, going to be your priority for the coming year?
Well, I do have some estimates here that we already sent out to bid for trees that are hazard trees. So, you know, we try to, you know, prioritize. But at times, you know, things happen and we can't always address them because we don't have the money. We try to do the best we can. Like I said, there's 3 of us. I wrote a few things down, just. In 2008, we planted 56 trees from a Tree City USA grant. They're the last trees we've been able to plant, because we're constantly trying to address problems that are around. We currently have 1,030 trees. The reason I know this is because we're in the end stages of doing our 5-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have 1,030 trees and we have 218 vacant planting sites. The 1,030 trees does not include the park. Okay, that's just.
That's just around the areas?
Mm-hmm. That's just street trees, you know, the ones that are in our easement. We have a potential to get some trees from the Penny Toss Farm donated.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some money encumbered because he has to dig the trees. I guess he has trees planted that are becoming too big for regular property owners to buy, and he doesn't want to just cut them down. so he was going to dig them, and then we were going to find places for them. But they're big, they're bigger trees. So the root ball is going to be huge, so there's only certain places where we can place those trees. But up there,
right,
by the park, is a perfect place for them to be. Mm-hmm. So better, those trees weren't selected well for where they were. And I think that's what happens to a lot of the trees that have been here for a long time.
Right.
They just get too big and they're planted under wires, and then the electric company comes by and just hacks them.
Well, they hack all over town.
I know.
Yeah.
5 years, for 5 years. They trim so that they don't have to come back for 5 years. So that's really a problem.
I see them go up down Belvoir Avenue all the time, trimming and cutting back.
Mm-hmm.
Chased them out of my trees once or twice.
Out of your 1,030 trees, you don't happen to have a list of how many are diseased or damaged?
Well, we do have a tree inventory, and
okay,
we try to keep up with that, but
any idea?
It cost us $10,000 to do it. I mean, we had to do it with
grants. No, the number of trees, that 1,030, how many of them are?
They are damaged, right this minute?
In poor shape?
I don't know.
Okay.
I had a list of like 26, and we've been, systematically taking care of that. So how many are left right this minute? They're probably on that list that you got.
Well, there's a whole bunch here.
Yeah.
And this is what, in the next couple of years, get these trees?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was the list that you took care of this year.
No. That's what's left.
2014 list?
That's our list. Yeah, as people call, we put them on the list. Uh-huh. We go look at them. You can see there are people
still have to be done.
Yes.
I thought all of these were done.
Oh, gosh, no. And all the people at the top want new trees, which is nice, because usually they don't like the leaves.
I had two trees plant my front, and you came by and had to take them back out because they were both diseased.
Yeah, it happens,
But there's a couple here that says it's been removed, like on Belvoir Avenue and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're still there, I know.
I think, I don't know, that's a mistake.
Well, I think 46 and 47.
Oh, they're still there,
yeah. They're still there.
I'm assuming they're proposed to be removed.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes. It's not that they're removed.
They haven't
been
done
yet. It's not supposed to be removed. That's something. Now I'm getting crazy.
Yeah.
Anything else? So anyway, if you could. Since I've been on Shade Tree, what I wanted to do was start a maintenance program to systematically trim the town, but we've never had enough money to really get it started. We were able to we elevated Belvedere, Carlton, because the kids walk underneath, and Stewart Street. We were able to do that this year. What else? Like I said, we encumbered some money to have those trees dug, but he couldn't get we were supposed to do it in the spring, but the people who were supposed to come and dig couldn't come at the right time. So then we're talking about the fall, and he said after the first hard frost. So I'm figuring we're kind of in that area now.
Okay.
So I'm hoping, because we sent these letters out to people a long time ago that they were going to get a tree.
Okay.
But that's what happened.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you,
Kathy. Okay. Thank you. You answered my question.
Thank you.
More money next year, right?
Okay, Sandy, you're up.
Sandy Cerami, Executive Director, Washington Borough Business Improvement. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council. And I just wanted to start again by thanking everyone once again for the cooperation and support that we have. I can't tell you how important that is in making us able to accomplish our goals and objectives for all of us and for the community at large. If you turn to page 5 in our business plan and budget, you will see under management and administration that I received a certification as a business district manager through Rutgers Business District Management Certification Continuing Education class. And yes, I got an A, which you should expect no less, but the other thing that got an A was the review of our accomplishments, our return on investment, as well as our programs, projects, and communication. So one of the things through this class, I was in contact with so many business district managers throughout the country, as far as Seattle, Washington, in Washington, D.C., all over the country, as well as the director of the Business District Institute. And what I learned is confirmation of what I just said. The districts that had success were the ones that had a solid, strong, ongoing relationship and cooperation with their council and with the staff and administrators as well. And along with that, I did want to take this moment to personally recognize and thank Deputy Mayor Chinian Gleba, who served as the business, the council representative on our board of directors. And it has been my distinct pleasure to work with Chinian. It has, we're going to miss you so much. And, you know, there are members of the board who just sit there and take a vote, and then there's other members of the board who really take the time and put in the effort and contribute their own personal hours and research. And not even, and it's even sometimes people put in the hours but don't get the results. Well, Mrs. Gleba certainly got us some results and really has been wonderful to work with. So thank you.
I'm going to miss you guys too. Is there ever a resident vacancy sometime? Let me know.
So anyway, so going along, I'm just going to, you know, this is a pretty hefty report, so I'm going to just kind of take everybody through some of the highlights of what we've done in 2014. And we really took a very detailed analysis. That's another thing I learned. You have to give people exact numbers, exact reports, things that back up what you do and what you say. And in the public relations and marketing, we took the time to find out what is the exact distribution, the listenership, the impressions made. And if you look at all of the various media that we use, whether it be printed in newspapers, whether it be radio, whether it be cyber marketing through NJ.com, LehighValley.com, through our websites, our Facebook, and so on and so forth, if you add all of that up, there is, at a very conservative number, over 105 million opportunities this year alone for people to see exactly what we're doing and to make a favorable impression for Washington Borough as a whole and for the businesses as well, but for Washington Borough as a whole. And that is an extremely important thing. Also in this area, I wanted to comment one of the things this year that we did. On the bottom, you see we launched a mobile app. Over 48% of people view their emails on their smartphone, and 58% of people own one. So that's why we made this an important initiative this year, and we're very pleased with it. It has an online business directory, so if you're scrolling through the mobile app, you can actually just click on something and immediately get directions to go to the business and get there, or get the, you can just click on the little phone number and call them, or click and see their website. So that has been a wonderful item. Everything about our events is on there. And
where
we,
can you get that app, Sandy?
Actually, we put it on all of our flyers. If
I
you
mean
have,
you can download it from the.
You just scan
big
that QR code, or you just scan the QR code that's on our flyers. And it, you can download the mobile app. So, moving on, talking about some of the highlights of our events. The festival was had a strong attendance this year. I estimated about 5,000 people, which is a nice number. It's not our highest number ever, but it certainly is a good improvement over what we've had the past couple of years. And we really kind of got socked in the end. There was a big lightning and rainstorm that came in the end of the evening, which traditionally our headliner band will pack it in there. So we kind of lost out a little bit on that. And we do have lots of things in place already talking about for next year to really capitalize on that event. It is the winner of the Best Festival for the Skylands Region. We were given an award from the Business District Management Institute, and so we're very, very pleased with that and really hope to make it even bigger and better this year. Just upcoming events that we have, is the Small Business Saturday, which will take place on November 29th. We signed up to be a neighborhood champion through American Express, and they have all kinds of, gave us free giveaways, such as shopping bags for the patrons, and pens and stickers and pins and all kinds of things. And so those were given to all the businesses to give out, and it also allowed us to market the event in addition to all of our other venues that we use, and some more, including Eventbrite. So we'll also have free face painting for children and a DJ on the street to help attract attention, and Santa will be in and out of all of the shops as well. I mean, he even goes to all the pubs, he goes down to the diner, he goes to the children's room at Gibson's Gym. I mean, he is just, he's a great Santa.
I hope he goes to the kids' places before the pubs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, he doesn't go back and forth, you know what I mean? Like, when he walks the avenue, he pretty much hits everything that's there and that's open, you know? He'll work his way all the way down. It's really great, you know? It's nice. You'd be surprised how popular he was at Felix's. So we're excited about that. And I'm sorry, I kind of skipped over. The Hometown Halloween, which was always a popular afternoon, had not just a children's, but a pets costume contest. And there were treats for the pets as well as the children. And it was just really so nice, all of our efforts for the Pocket Park, to see it all full and exactly what we wanted it to be. A community center, a gathering place, a focal point for everyone to enjoy. New this year, we had a scarecrow contest for the businesses, and there was a fabulous display, which was very interesting. So we have plans to expand that for next year, and our thinking is to have even more of the scarecrows, so that the businesses who are on the main drag, or any businesses at all, can have their scarecrow display directly in front of their business, and then the ones in the park can be for community. You know, like, wouldn't it be great to have a Warren Hills cheerleader and a football player, and, you know, all the different groups we mentioned today. We were meeting with the marching band director, and, you know, so just really the more you can get buy-in, ownership, participation, all of those things are so important to revitalize your community. You know, the physical improvements are great, and we're very proud and happy with those, but, you know, it's also about the people, not just about the brick and the mortar. So, Hometown Holiday is going to be on December 6th this year. We will have all of the celebrity characters of the season, the Borough tree lighting. People will start gathering here at Borough Hall at 4 p.m. with the tree lighting, and then a procession by the Warren Hills Marching Band, which will lead down to the Pocket Park with tree lighting there as well. And we will have the ribbon cutting for the Pocket Park. I couldn't think of any better motivator to have a great turnout and a lot of people on hand to celebrate and see the park for the ribbon cutting than Santa. I mean, if anybody's ever been to this event, it's just, and I'm so lucky that the fire department is so nice. They deliver Santa on the fire truck, and it's one of my favorite parts of my job. It's like, I get to ride around in the fire truck and get there with Santa. But, you know, above everything else, when I'm up there and you're looking down at that sea of faces and seeing all those children and just that pure unadulterated joy, you know, and that, you know, before they've been banged up by life, you know, and just knowing that, it's just a wonderful feeling. And since all of you have been so supportive, we really do hope that you will come out for the tree lighting and the ribbon cutting for the Pocket Park. So that is on Saturday, December 6th, and, you know, as I said, starting to gather here at 4:30, but the actual ribbon cutting and Santa's arrival will be in the 5 to 5:15 area. And then there's also going to be pictures and photos and meet and greet with Santa from 6 to 8. There'll be a cupcake contest at Allie's, and then Gibson's Gym. A few years back, they had a nice little reception there with wine tasting and refreshments, so we hope that you'll also join us for that. That's a lot of fun, too. So, as far as our physical improvements and maintenance, the parking lot improvement project was obviously a high priority, and I cannot believe how fast the 5 years has flown by since we actually entered into that. And again, Christine was fabulous as far as helping to facilitate the payoff of the parking lot loan. And as Mr. Higgins isn't here tonight, but as he knows, the big surplus fund was really being depleted, and having that parking lot loan paid off was critical to the solvency of our operation and to us maintaining our high level of service and programs to everyone. So the Pocket Park finally got it built there. So, you know, obviously we did, we had applied for so many different grants and loans, and, you know, it was very difficult. A lot of the things that, of grants and things that people were getting and all of these sources have really, really dried up in this, the state of the economy right now and the way things were. So it was very challenging. And we were really committed to the project, to delivering what we promised to deliver, and that's why we did spend much of our internal funds to do it to a level that we felt was really something to be proud of, but yet also not leave us bankrupt. So we do have funds in place and additional fundraising efforts going on for 2015 to try to finish that up. In particular, I think we'd like to see a roof over the stage area, you know, which could also be used when it's not as a stage. People can, you know, sit under there and enjoy that. So business recruitment and retention. So this isn't also just about the businesses, but it's also about some of the development and redevelopment. You know, as politicians, yes, you're elected by the residents, and what is the main thing that is, you know, a touchy or sore point for residents? Their taxes, okay? Well, how do you get people's taxes to be at a lower rate? You need more rateables. So that has been critical. If anybody just even thinks about, like, these townhouses at the end of town, right, 90 plus, 100 townhomes, or is it 90?
But,
90. All right, so for math's sake, to make this very easy, they're $250,000 each, okay? So 90 of them, if it was 100, that's like 25, it's millions of dollars as rateables. So that, you know, I do realize that there is additional services required as well, but it's still, it's been, you know, it's going to end up being very good for all of us. In addition to that, the second building behind the Midtown Limited added 40 new 1 and 2 bedroom apartments, as well as laundry and storage facilities. And you know, we have worked very closely, and thank you again to Scott and the Planning Board to helping us to move forward with the redevelopment of Subarea 6 with Jade Development. This will add 51 apartments and 7,000 plus square feet of marketable commercial space to produce a significant rateable, as well as what is really important is customers. You can't, businesses, I can, as fast as you bring them in, if you don't have customers and success for them, it is just going to churn. And if you want to attract bigger types of chains or franchises or more significant businesses into the town, you need the customer base. And if you want a thriving downtown, you need a customer base. In this day and age, people can shop on the internet 24/7, and they can go to a big box store. So you need to realize that your best customer are the people that it's convenient and close by and accessible for them. So that is very important. And, you know, I know we're on a very positive note right now, so I'd like to keep it that way, but I do have to mention that, well, and it is positive because I've seen the members of the Planning Board put their foot down, and I admire that very, very much. The professionals on the Planning Board are in a position to add cost to make something where it doesn't add up in dollars and cents, and to cast a poor light when I'm trying to attract developers into town. So I, you know, I know we're going out to bid, so just, you know, really continue to elevate the accountability of that and being very careful about who we appoint to those positions. I realize that you have to take proposals and you have to review them all, but we really need to understand the difference that that can make. And going along with that, you know, we're talking about professionals. I did want to take this moment, too, to thank Mr. Bashira, who's in the audience, believe it or not. Right? Look at that. He's actually, as the code enforcement officer, Rudy has been unbelievably responsive and cooperative in helping us. I don't have the authority to to make people or the businesses do things, and Rudy has, and he, I can't even, how many times have we been to that courthouse? Oh my gosh, like, you know, I think they think I'm like either an attorney or a criminal at this point, because we show up all the time, and his diligence, and, you know, I know this Paramount Properties thing has been really difficult, and, you know, as well as the conditions on Veneta Street as well. And, you know, and just in businesses in general, if things don't look good, and it's not just in the business district, it's the residential areas as well. So, you know, his job is not an easy one or a popular one, and we really appreciate his cooperation with that, as well as his filling in to assist when zoning applications come in.
If I can pause you just for a second there, I'd also just like to let council know that Paramount has applied for and received permits to renovate number 14.
Woo-hoo.
So that's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't include the other two properties that they own, but I'll take the baby steps, because at least it's a step, positive step.
14, is that the one with the painted front?
The one that they just did the
with
new
the
facade on earlier?
Down with the new facade. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going on, let's just hit up onto the 2015 budget, and to bring you right to the summary page, which is in Appendix F, as you go back. So we are so pleased that we have a flat budget this year, and I just wish Mr. Higgins was here, because he, you know, obviously realized how important that was as well for us. So all of our programs, events, everything that we do have the assessment of the $200,000, which we will maintain, and really has not changed since our inception in 2003, despite all the other things have risen in price. You know, we've really felt important to keep that at a flat level, and we will be raising income from our events, both through sponsorships, fundraising, donations, and also from, you know, exhibitor registrations there. And I welcome any questions, and if anybody so desires, and when the new council people take place in January, I welcome anyone who'd like to sit down and come into my office. I can review everything in detail, explain who we are, what we do, what we've done, what we plan to do, how we work at any time.
You should have Christine give this. Each of the new ones.
Yes, actually I brought three extra copies, and then I was thinking, as I was studying for tonight, I noticed that there's a few things that need some minor corrections, not in the numbers, not in the budget part, but on the business plan, so I'll make sure I get these to her to give to the new council people. And then along with that, with the new council appointment, when you're making your appointments, just be sure to look at the meeting calendar. For us to have a solid working board, we do need people to attend. We need a quorum. We need a quorum, and it's very important to have somebody that is committed that they can attend the majority of the meetings for the year.
Janet, I have a quick question.
Absolutely.
By the way, congratulations on the work that you did for the Pocket Park. It came out great, so. Where's fundraising listed on the budget page? I just don't see it.
If you go onto the budget summary, mm-hmm. which was Appendix F, so basically the $32,400, the majority of that is sponsorships. Some of it
income
is
from events, right?
Is, yes, income from events.
Okay, but when you were talking, I just thought you meant fundraising, outside fundraising.
Say like the cocktail for the
non-event,
park.
Yeah.
Or the fundraiser.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I just.
You wanted to know where that was broken out on here.
Well, maybe that was.
I probably should have. Well, actually, it would be. Cocktails for the park would be an event as well. So that is pretty much our fundraising is our goal. Actually, I'd really like to exceed the goal, to be honest with you. You know, in addition to the physical improvements down at the park, I'd like to be able to raise some funds to have some music down there and stuff, you know, some other things besides the physical improvements. So,
how about volunteering band sponsor down there?
that is great. If you know anybody who would like to, that's fabulous.
Do you have any, or do you welcome them, or?
You know, it's funny, that kind of became a sore point during the festival, because there would be bands that would volunteer to play at the festival, and then they would get angry, oh, but so-and-so got paid, why didn't we get paid? Well, because you offered, you know. People are so funny. Sometimes you're just like, okay. So, you know, we are certainly looking into, we think that's a great idea.
Where would they get those towels from, stores then?
No, there's actually power right there at the park.
At the park. Okay, I thought you were looking on Main Street.
Well, I guess the idea is to have the music up on the stage and then have people bring their, you know, their chairs and their lawn chairs and, you know, whether they want to bring a picnic dinner or order in or step across the street. Lost Ladies is going to be reopening directly across the street. You know, there's...
Do you know when they're reopening?
I'm not sure.
Not a set date yet?
No, no set date.
And the place that's going into the old Russo's, the Mexican restaurant?
So we do have Juanito's Mexican restaurant, and at this point they need to do some additional things required by the Warren County Board of Health. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, that's another administration that we have a great working relationship with. Technically, they have 30 days to come in and review the place. And I know she really wanted to be open. And, you know, so, you know, I called up Carol, and she came down, like, within 2 days, realizing how much she has to go through in the entire county that she's responsible for. So, you know, that's another thing that's key and crucial. So I will certainly, well, you'll be the first to know, Mr. Ribbon Cutter. So. And that would be good. We're looking forward to it. It's authentic. I mean, really authentic. Juanito is actually her baby. It's her son. And her name is Delmi Morales, and she's from NetCom. And the menu looks fabulous. And so we'll be very excited about that. And it's nice. You know, we had that great success story with Ali's Cupcakery and Cafe. And, you know, we want to continue to move in that direction. I know that the new development is definitely had an inquiry from a restaurant and has agreed to put in the necessary ventilation during the construction so that for future it's easy to get somebody in there. And then I was speaking with a new developer today who might also redevelop another parcel, and he said the exact thing that I'm telling you. You need to have your numbers up if you want to, you know, attract some of the bigger, more advertised type of restaurants. You need the numbers to attract them, you know. So.
I'm happy with the smaller ones.
No, they are good.
Yeah, I think they're better in many cases.
Yes,
than
in
a
many,
chain,
many cases. But I guess
yeah.
I was also thinking, you know, like it'd be great to have, like, I don't know, a Perkins, an IHOP, you know, something like that might be good as well. You know, obviously, you know, you can see that there's a big demand here for inexpensive food. I mean, oh my gosh. Anybody who drives past the diner can see, gosh, we have two diners, I mean, you know, and they are packed, you know, so, you know, family dining is great, and yes, I agree.
It's a burger joint, like Five Guys or something.
I know, exactly, and that's the thing, they want the numbers, they need to see the population, they need to see the density, so, you know, we've come a long way with that, you know, between all the development that we've had.
I just want to say thank you to Sandy. It was an honor being on the board, and I really enjoyed it. And you guys work very hard, and I'm very pleased. I think you've really done a tremendous job in the last few years, and I hope you have continued success. So,
thank you.
And the executive committee, too. I mean, you know, people have no idea what's involved in being in these committees and the time commitment and the dedication to this town, and, you know, they're giving of themselves to make
and
this...
And to run their own business.
And to run their own business.
Hour a week
to make this place
so.
A better... better community.
I like
to
think about people like Ed Rossi, who was down there. It's like, I could come in at 7 a.m. and he would have been there. And, you know, I'd find him down there when we were constructing the park. And, you know, the stuff that he did, he drove like 2 hours with the contractor to get, you know, those all of those papers and that block from Anchor Block. I mean, we got that. Such a reduced rate, and you know, it certainly wouldn't have that lovely appearance without.
And the work
it.
That Kathy and Monica did too, as well on the board.
Absolutely. Well, Kathy, we have to recognize her since she's here.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, my God. God help us with that.
With the festival, you have no idea, like, the hours that Kathy puts in. Like, it's just unbelievable.
I know. Like, what was that, like, how many 12, that big 12-hour day and how many hours ahead of time?
Yeah, not only is it the planning meetings, but then, you know, it's the actual day of the event. It's because it's very hard to get volunteers. I mean, they really need, even for the hometown holiday, you know, they could use some people to wear some of those costumes, you know, and there's nobody. You know, it's very difficult.
So if you all don't recognize me there that night.
That's, she's a Grinch.
I'm in the Grinch costume. No, Teddy was going to do that. No,
Rudy.
You'd be good at secret.
Appropriate, too.
Like, keep it up, and I'm not going to decorate your tree for you, honey. You better sit down and be quiet. But there's not going to be any tree to light. I shouldn't say that. There won't be any lights to light on the tree.
Cooperation you were talking about with
that. Yeah. So actually, the volunteers, the fire department, helps us decorate the tree each year. In addition,
the Grinch wouldn't be giving out summonses that night, would he?
Oh, no.
What? I'm just going to take that job.
To make sure you do everything right anyway.
Otherwise, you'll get one in the mail.
He could come in the morning.
And again, this is a huge report. If you ever notice anything, you ever have a question, I'm available. I love to see people come into our office. You know, the more commitment and involvement, the better for all of us. And, you know, when people have ideas, like Mr. Thompson comes in often with ideas, and we appreciate that very much.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. That brings us up to correspondence. Don't really have any, do we? Just have reports.
Get two reports.
Okay, we'll go them down farther, so... At this point, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimonies from guests.
Are you mostly close to the audience?
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Yes. So we got one. They're fighting over who's going to come up. No, you go. No, you go.
Do you want to go first?
No, we don't have a definite date, but it's still on schedule. From what I understand. I got that message from the clerk earlier.
Oh, okay.
That's for the repaving.
All right, because we noticed a couple of things, so we had a question or two. That's the school, good afternoon, evening, Reverend Bob,
yes.
Night, Mount Pisgah, West Lincoln Avenue. The question becomes the issue of the school parking lot and the driveway that comes out onto North Lincoln. Nothing's been done. Is that going to be done after they do the paving?
I don't have an answer for you.
That's good. You're talking about the driveway?
The
highway?
Driveway.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Well, it was supposed to be done during the break there, wasn't it?
That was. Mm-hmm. Well, no, because we didn't vote, so.
We didn't vote.
Yeah.
We didn't vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were supposed to prep.
All I can tell you is that we'll ask Ms. Blanchard when she gets back.
Okay.
You know, she is out sick at the moment, so when she returns, I will get that information for you.
Would that include being able to find out about there's utility markers on the street also?
That's probably...
That's probably the prepping, because they don't hit where
they're
going.
They will be prepping.
There are some things that have been done. I mean, there's a huge pile of...
If they come by and raise manholes, they raise manholes and the water meters...
They didn't raise the hole that's by, the cover that's by us. They just put a whole extra pile of blacktop in a square. About as big as this.
Right.
Right at the corner where the parking lot begins and the grass is. They put a marker that said call. It's painted yellow. So now, instead of being semi-flush to the street, now it's below and there's all this blacktop around it.
Yeah, it's probably part of the mark-out procedures. Exactly how... Can't answer the question.
Okay. My only other question was, is there an extension of the council as far as having residents who are available to inform the council?
There's nothing official.
Okay.
I mean, any resident can contact any member of the council anytime they like, or the manager, or come and speak during the audience portion, you know, whatever they are more comfortable with. Also on the website, if there's a particular issue that needs to be brought up, that they call it an incident form or...
Yeah, municipal service request?
That's the one, municipal services request.
It's an online form.
You know, that's more like there's a pothole in my road, there's a branch falling off the tree.
And I've done it a couple of times as a resident, and they immediately...
Okay.
I've always had good response time.
Okay. And the house that was the one, there's one on the corner of Lenape Trail and Ramapo Way, that's still going through its changes. The one that's now across the street is house number 82. We were asked to get the number. Abandoned property.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Do you have that back to send off to Christine? 82 Lenape Trail is one of the abandoned properties.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott. 82 Lenape Trail?
Yes.
Okay.
She was asking about the driveway and blacktopping and everything, if they'd be done together?
I don't think they will be done together. Because
no.
It'll be two separate entities doing it. The odds of them doing it at the same time are infinitesimal.
Junior High is doing it on their own.
I'm sorry?
Junior High is doing that on their own. On their own.
They're the lead agency on it, yeah.
It would be nice if they did it together.
Good luck with that. Okay, anyone else?
Central Franklin, 145 North Lincoln Avenue. Again, going back to North Lincoln Avenue. I know when I was here, I believe it was in October, they said that they were going to start the street beginning of November. And now you're saying tonight that it's still on.
Yes.
But no one knows.
The last I heard was the second or third week of November. The manager is the one who has been in contact with them much more than anybody else here, unfortunately. You know, she's out sick. I guess we're into the third week here, so it should be, I would think, this week, weather permitting.
Yeah, I was just concerned because I know that there was a grant collect for having this street done. And if it doesn't get done, what happens to me?
Does that roll over?
Yeah.
I don't know what the specific grant.
It was a DOT.
Okay, so it should be a year from the grant, but there are also conditions on the grant that if they're not met, then obviously you don't get to utilize your grant money, but that doesn't sound like that's a concern.
No.
Yeah. So we just got the grant money.
If they don't finish it now, they'll finish it in the spring. It'll be done for sure. So.
Okay. Now, is there going to be an issue when they do start it and they do it with the school? With the driveway, what they're going to do, would it have any kind of impact with the street of North Lincoln?
As far as the buses coming out?
Yes.
More than likely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure that the school will be notified that that's going to happen, and they in turn will notify the bus company. And I'm sure there will be some kind of a barrier put up, you know, with detour signs and that sort of thing, to allow whoever's trying to exit out of there to use one of the other exits.
Okay.
It might be good for us to send out a bulletin or, you know, email blast because, you know, the buses may be delayed.
Right.
So, you know, kids might be affected, that's all.
Yeah.
Okay, now I guess there's one more question, too. When they do North Lincoln, if they do North Lincoln first, then they do the alley where the buses are coming out, is that going to affect the work that they've done on North Lincoln? Are they going to have to then tear up and redo?
From what I understand, what they're going to do on the driveway, the alleyway, is that they're going to butt right up against North Lincoln. So there should be no impact on that. At worst case, maybe they get a half an inch or something that they have to replace type of thing. You know, maybe because they damage it and tearing up what they've done, they do what they need to tear up. But there will be no significant impact as far as what has been done on North Lincoln.
Okay. Thank you.
And if there is, then we're going to have a problem.
Then
we go after them.
Yeah, then we're going to have an issue with them.
All right, thank you.
Okay, sure. Okay, is there anyone else?
No, Mr. Motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have no ordinances, so that brings us to reports.
Make a motion to receive and file the report.
Second.
Any discussion on any of the reports?
Yeah, I just have a comment. I noticed that in the code enforcement report, that it seems to be that we're getting a lot of these things. I don't see a resolution on here. So maybe in the future, is it possible to put like another column to see which ones are finally finished with?
Closed.
Yeah, closed cases, if you would.
Are you talking about the number page that he has or the written investigation?
No, well, it's like, yeah, the investigations, and then to see if some of them are resolved or if they're still in progress.
So we typically, I would imagine you report those to the manager that everything is resolved?
The reason I say it is because it's kind of important to see, you know, the flow of information and to see, you know, how fast our courts are working as well, in some cases, where they go that way. So
snail space.
Well, yes. But it would be...
In reverse.
It would be very good to say, okay, out of 26 summonses that you issued, 20 of them were resolved already because the people paid them for whatever reason, and then there's, say, 5 that are still unresolved.
That doesn't mean the violation has been abated.
Right. I think I'd rather know that the violation was abated as opposed to the fine was paid.
That's a good point as well.
And that would be a lot of work, specifically because the courts frequently, at the defendant's request or the lawyer's request, gives adjournments. I've got some summonses that are 16 months old that haven't been resolved. I've got a number of them.
Well, that's kind of important to know for, you know, I mean, I see you, you know, you tell me these things, but, you know, if you don't mention it at the council meeting, a lot of people in the borough don't realize that it does take a long time to get some of these things finished up, so it was a good idea somehow to make some sort of indication that it's in work in progress, or it's been resolved one way or the other.
The major activities or problems I give a narrative update on. If you want more than this, I'm sorry, it's going to take time away from me going around the borough.
Mm-hmm. Part time.
Yeah, I don't think we need to know that you've given out 20 summonses for unshoveled sidewalks and that they were all resolved in 2 days or whatever. 15 were resolved.
I've got some from last year that haven't been resolved yet.
I'm sure.
Summonses are still open.
I'm sure. Maybe we should just think about that a little bit as to what exactly the information we're looking for is.
Well, like the ones that are taking over a year to resolve. I mean, it's just, how many of those are there?
Maybe you could just do one year-end report, a year-end report saying, you know.
I would have to get a report from the courts on how many summonses have been adjourned.
Yeah, it's very complicated, yeah, so maybe not a great...
And that would only give me the complaint number, not the individual or the code that I'm citing.
Yeah.
Might be more work.
It's
than
a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It would be a lot more work. Yeah, I think that the benefits would be derived.
But in general, you do bring up the ones that do, you know, take up a long time.
Yeah, the narrative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like the narrative, too.
The narrative, too.
Okay, any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Old business. We have a memorandum on the condemned abandoned properties. We do have our attorney here this evening for any questions. I would like to just bring this up again when we do have the manager here so that she can make comments to whatever we're thinking about.
Yeah,
if anybody has questions for the attorney, now is the time.
I guess my question would be, in your experience and knowledge, you know, what do you recommend or what is the most effective? I mean, we have done the old
abandoned property list, and then when Rich Fallon was here, he recommended we do away with it, so we did away with it.
What was the recommendation based on that, if you done away with? Because
cost.
I know the cost. Okay.
Strictly cost. Mm-hmm. We couldn't afford
so,
to.
And then even to, you know, obviously we, you know, went, for lack of better words, we're not a rich town to demolish a lot of these things. So what again, what do you, given our town's situation, what,
well,
can you make a recommendation?
I think I'd have to get a better understanding of what the costs were previously, what before the ordinance was done away with. I know that under the condemned properties and the first part of the memo deals with the statute that you can actually recoup your costs. How effective that is another question. That's a potential problem.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to the abandoned properties, it is going to be expensive to implement. However, there have been recent changes, and I can find out specifically what the recent changes were that make it a little bit easier and cost effective. If that's a concern, that's something that I can certainly get you the information on for next time.
Yeah, please. And I think even I guess just from the, you know, the aspect of the sometimes time is money, you know, the time that, you know, taken away from the manager and clerk's job for what she would have to do, and same like I'm assuming the code enforcement is probably involved in that list too.
Well, I think that, well, in order to implement either one of these, the borough would appoint someone to either create the abandoned property list, or if you're proceeding under the prior statute that I talk about, you'd have to appoint someone to go out and investigate and to deem these properties unsafe for human health and
mm-hmm.
safety and things like that. So it would have to be one person or a few people that could be appointed. It's not necessarily one person that has to do it all, but obviously that's something that you'd have to look into.
Mm-hmm. And typically, is that appointment a volunteer, like so, you know, or is it a paid? Is it a
it's
paid?
It's probably
position?
Going to be a paid position.
Yes. Yeah, again, that ties into the whole.
Right, and it does become an issue that. Unless you're able to recoup the money under the statute that I talk about with respect to unsafe properties, condemned properties, that's a situation where pretty much the most you can do is put a lien on the property, and then you're going to have to recoup the money that way. With respect to the abandoned property list, there are mechanisms that provide the municipality the ability to take over the property and then do a special tax sale. And a special tax sale could have certain conditions that require the buyer to maintain the properties or to bring the properties back up to code before
right.
they can go forward with anything, you know, the purchase of the property.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that would be probably more cost effective than adopting the ordinance that would allow you to demolish properties.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to keep in mind, if the overriding concern is to demolish properties, your abandoned property statute sort of gets away from that. The goal of that is to rehab properties and not demolish them. Now, you can, in the event that if there's a threat with respect to, you know, the safety of the public, you can have them demolished, but the overriding principle is to rehab these properties.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to say is a lot of people hear the word condemned, they, you know, think, oh, it has to be knocked down. A lot of these properties can be rehabbed, as you said, and at sometimes to the benefit of the community, like, for example, supposing that there was just a minor health issue with, say, mold. They came in, somebody, you know,
mm-hmm.
could repair that in a short period of time. Or say the roof was damaged. As long as it's not an ongoing thing for years later, you know, some of these things can be, you know, tackled by good construction people. So we have, in our community, Habitat for Humanity, they rehab houses. So, you know, there's possibly a way that, you know, we can take ownership and title of these properties and then donate them out. Where we, okay,
okay.
have somebody maybe do something with these. Not the real bad cases, of course, but the ones that
that kind of coincides with what we're doing with the MREM foreclosures.
It does.
And, you know, at the last bid meeting, there was a gentleman there who was interested in at least looking at some of those properties once the foreclosure is done to see if he could bring them up to a habitable state. You know, and I think the ultimate goal is to bring the properties up to something that can be habitable.
That is the ultimate goal.
And bring them back into a rateable system.
And that would be, your best alternative then would be under your abandoned property. Now, if there was a prior concern regarding cost, I'd like to look, I'll look back into, I'll talk to Christine and find out what was going on then, what the costs were that weren't part of any changes that have been made.
But at that point, too, our finances were in real bad shape.
Okay.
We are not in that condition anymore.
Okay.
You know, we're not completely out of the woods, but, you know, we can see the end of the tree line.
Okay, well, I think then, you know, if that's the case, then it might be in the best interest to look back into the abandoned properties.
Roman numeral number two.
Yes, that's Roman numeral number, yes. Roman numeral number two.
And that would encompass all of it, A, B, and C?
That's from C to the end, yeah. It's a process, because what you have to do is you have to create, you have to pass an ordinance that allows an abandoned property list to be put together, and then the abandoned property list gets put together. There's certain criteria that have to be met in order for a property to be deemed an abandoned property. It has to be abandoned for at least 6 months, and then it's got to have one of four other options that it gives you. I think if it's under construction and the construction hasn't been completed, if there have been a number of, I think one cycle of tax payments haven't been made. So it's a number of things that you have to look to. Then once you get the list together, then you can proceed with notifying people on the list. They can say to you, well, look, you know, you have the wrong information. I did pay my taxes and, you know, this, that, or the other thing. A hearing is granted, and in the event that the property remains on the abandoned property list, then you have the option to go forward and do the special tax sale. And that, like I said, you can provide certain requirements to the buyer to require them to bring it back up to the standard that the municipality wants. And you're very liberal with the conditions that can be put down on that property.
I think Allentown out in Pennsylvania had something like that a number of years ago,
mm-hmm.
where they would sell a property that they had foreclosed on to anybody for a dollar, but the one condition was it had to get a CO with a certificate of occupancy in 1 year. And
right.
if it didn't, I believe it reverted back to the municipality again
right.
for sale.
That's
right.
exactly what the statute offers. There's a reverter in it, so if the conditions are not met, it has to revert. The only downside is that I think there's a year waiting period before the properties can be turned over. So because it gives, there are due process requirements involved, and there are concerns that, you know, people's rights are being affected here. So you have that year waiting period, but after that, you're pretty much in a position where you can get these properties sold and you can have the conditions met. And that way it would be more cost effective than proceeding with a demolition or maintenance that's done by the borough, and then you put a lien on the property and you might not ever get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think that in the history of why they actually legislature state, you know, passed this originally, probably was because the cities had a big problem with the urban sprawl and a lot of the...
Sure.
In the big cities, they had the money, they got more money from the state, obviously, too, to help them to knock these things down. So when we go back to the condemned properties, sometimes it's important for, supposing we're doing, say, redevelopment in there, then it's important to maybe for the town to use eminent domain and take over these, you know, particular properties just to have that property available for some municipal purpose.
Yeah, I think
so
the situation,
it's kind of,
any progress is better than no progress.
It's kind of a good idea to have, you know, this just as an option as well.
But being realistic with this, once you start this project, you probably figure it's going to take you 2 years before you can see anything the advances from it.
It should take less than that. It should probably, it's probably around 120 days from the time you get yourself onto the abandoned property list.
Well, it's got to be abandoned for 6 months, first of all.
Yeah, right.
I'm talking about
once you're able to determine that something's been abandoned. It's 120 days till you get to that point
right.
where you're on the abandoned property list and the appeals have been exhausted for the owner, to the extent there are any.
So
right.
then you go ahead and do something with the property. Doesn't the old property owner have a year or two maybe step
That's
up to the
right.
plate?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're, you know, it's going to be...
got it. It's not a quick
yeah.
process.
It's going to be a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Two-year process.
There could be a couple of them that the people just say, you know what, take it. I don't want it.
Right.
And we do have now somewhat a working list that we use. Yeah. It's just not
yeah.
an official list.
I still think that was part of the problem is why Rich recommended we get rid of it, because they had this list and nothing was done with the list.
Well, one of the things that you can do, if you want to do it in baby steps, if there's a, it doesn't require you to go municipality-wide. So if there's a particular area that, that receives a lot of complaints, or if there is a, or a redevelopment area that, that you're particularly concerned about, you can designate that area and just do a list for that area, and then expand later
okay.
on.
Yeah.
So
okay.
it's something that, it's not all or nothing.
So we could list it as the downtown to start off with,
sure.
and then start expanding out from there.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy?
I just want to make sure that the old Washington Closet outlet is a part of that, because I think there's even something
well, that
beyond it, because it's a bankruptcy, but I've had two buyers for it.
You're jumping the gun
yeah.
there a little bit. That was, we're not to the point of naming the properties yet. So no problem. But I think you and I have the same list in our head.
We'll have that. Okay.
So you recommend to go with the abandoned properties instead of the condemned?
Well, I think that, here's the thing. The abandoned property, obviously you have to have property that's abandoned. And if you have something that's condemned and nobody's been in it, you're going to get the same sort of relief. If you've got properties where people are living in them and you've got concerns about the quality of the home or you know, things of that nature, you're not going to get the relief that you want under the abandoned property statute.
Yeah, but in that situation, you've got the Board of Health.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or building codes.
Yeah, you can
yeah,
get
got
building
code and Board
like
of Health
that,
to
right.
address those issues.
Mm-hmm.
But that would take a complaint to start that process, would it not?
It would take a complaint. Mm-hmm. Or it would take a notice of violation to start the process.
Right.
And then I'm getting a thumbs up, see? And then it would go to a complaint.
So there is a process that could take care of that in place.
Question. You've got a couple abandoned houses,
mm-hmm.
okay? But the mortgage company still pays the taxes, then we do in that case.
If the mortgage company is still paying the taxes, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to use your foreclosure statute in that situation because it's not an abandoned property necessarily, but you have, we've already talked about that foreclosure statute where you can penalize the mortgage company for not keeping the property up to the proper standards,
right.
and that was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the in-room
right.
foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a property maintenance, the mortgagee's property maintenance responsibilities, and that was the new law that just came into being this summer, that you can penalize a mortgage company or, you know, for not keeping the property up to the proper standards once it goes into foreclosure.
Anything else on that?
The next agenda again, you mean? Or?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, if anyone has any particular questions, you can email me, and we'll...
Yeah, if you could bring those
absolutely.
Answers to the next... Well, you won't be at the next meeting,
so I guess. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess we should put it through the proper process, email Christine, who will then gather them all
yeah.
together and
right.
email them off. That way we follow all the laws and requirements.
Yeah. Or just that
send
Christine the answer.
No, we
could
send, follow it, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter,
yeah.
right?
Okay, anything else on...
As long as it's not a reply to all situations.
This is really good.
What's that?
This is really
yeah.
good, thank you.
Good. It was a bit dense, but there's a lot involved, so that's why I wanted to give everyone the opportunity to, you know, address any questions that they have. So.
All right, if there's nothing else on that, we'll move on to new business. Procedure for our redevelopment plan ordinance. And looking at this, I'm thinking, too, we should probably forward this off to Planning Board and or Board of Adjustment for
that's
comment also.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
But I would certainly welcome any discussion this evening on it for questions.
I guess my question is, and it's kind of it's a little confusing. So there's nowhere in the redevelopment plan ordinance regarding enforcement. I guess I'm confused as to what exactly the zoning officer does. Like, is he signs off on the site plan? So is that different? Those are just like the zoning officer is responsible for making sure they're following the current ordinances and you know, like the like regulation things and I guess what the initial redevelopment site plan he signs off of. But then when it comes to the aesthetic things, the planning board approves these things, but then after that it falls through the cracks.
That is how it was explained to me by the engineer. He said normally when you have these redevelopment plans, there's a mechanism in the plan that allows for the zoning officer typically to enforce the aesthetics if they're not complied with.
So the concern was that with the particular redevelopment plan that the borough has, that mechanism is not in there. So this would just simply provide, and there are two ways to do it. You could either ask the planning board to prepare something or have something prepared, give it to the planning board for their comment, and then if they, would they have 45 days to respond? And if they don't respond, the governing body has the ability just to pass the amendment as they see fit, and it would just be something as simple as giving, and it would also give the planning board the opportunity to provide comment with respect to the governing body's thoughts as to why this is needed. Their engineer can weigh in. If they don't, then the by unanimous vote, the governing body can go ahead and pass that amendment. So from what I understand, and this is something that I really think the engineers are best suited to address because they're dealing with these things all the time, but from what I understand, it's something that should be in the redevelopment plan so that future projects, there's sort of an ability to keep the thumb on the future projects and the aesthetics that are...
So this is almost like a new, because our zoning officer is part of like our civil service, and that's the responsibilities are listed in there for our zoning officer, because I got a copy of that from 15.
Okay.
Same with like the code enforcer. So this is something that's not specifically in there, so now we're giving this additional responsibility to the zoning officer?
I don't know that it would be seen as an additional responsibility, because it's simply enforcing something that's already set forth in the plan.
Okay.
Right, and she's suggesting the engineer rather than the zoning officer anyway.
Well, I'm suggesting that the engineer provide us with their thoughts on what's appropriate to be in the amended redevelopment plan. But I think the zoning officer is the proper official to enforce.
Right. I guess my question is, since they already are supposedly this enforcer, why does we don't have other specific ordinances where these responsibilities are specifically listed, why does it have to be specifically listed in this redevelopment plan?
Since we're kind of piggyback on that, it's my understanding from some people mm-hmm. that I've spoken to that the state statute gives the zoning officer the authority to do that, mm-hmm. to do what is being suggested.
So why does it have to be in this ordinance?
And maybe it's something that the engineers will say, look, we don't need this. This is something, but it was just brought to my attention and Christine's attention is something that most redevelopment plans have. And without mm-hmm. it, I don't know. I'd like to see the statute I'll look up the statute that you're
Yeah, if you could. So what's yeah. clearly because I really think this is a problem and we need a mechanism to enforce
Absolutely.
It. So if this person already has that, what's the word I'm looking
authority.
For? Authority to
yeah.
do, then why isn't the person doing it, or why can't Christine just say, listen, yeah. you need to be doing this?
Right.
Is it just a case of somebody needs a class,
Or does we really have to be passed via
That's what I was going to say. Oftentimes, and I'll have to look at the language, oftentimes a statute will give someone the power to do something, but it's not put into play unless there's an ordinance requiring it.
Right.
So
okay.
That's what I'll look into that. I'll get an answer for you, but I think that and we don't have to act on this now, but those are the two different options that I've set forth. I've put forth two different ordinances that would eventually be put into place once the matter is referred to the planning board. So this is not something that would have to be decided now or passed now. Let me do the research. We can address it next time or in the meantime, and then discuss to the extent I conclude that it's something that needs to be in the ordinance, then...
We pick one of these.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. We need this to be addressed. But
listen, are you not back until December now? Or?
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I thought you meant like in general. I don't know where I'm going.
You're lost in Atlantic City.
But I can certainly get an opinion out to Christine's part of it.
So do we need a motion to forward this off to the planning board and board of adjustment? Probably. Let's do a motion.
Sure. I'll make the motion.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Pat, do you need a copy of this?
Is it in this folder?
Yes.
In this folder?
It should be. And I'm sure she probably has an electronic copy of it someplace.
I can make a copy of it.
Okay.
And you want Board of Adjustment also, or just Planning Board?
Let's go to both of them. For comment.
Okay.
I mean, they, Board of Adjustment will probably use it a lot less, but it may come into effect for them every year and there. Okay, we have three resolutions for redemption of a tax certificate, 142, 143, and 144.
Okay, I'll make the motion.
Okay, any discussion on these? May I have a roll call, please?
Leva?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Vouchers. Everybody enjoys it here so much tonight that we're going to
make a move to...
Thank you. Okay, any discussion?
Question.
Mr. Thompson.
Page 8, the water bill at Guerrero Field.
The what?
Water bill at Guerrero Field.
Mm-hmm.
Are they using water down there?
Is what?
Are they using water down there?
There was a leak.
Again?
Yeah.
I thought they fixed that.
The pipes are old, as we spoke before. They didn't complete it. It wasn't completed. They went back. It happened again, but it's fixed now.
Okay. I thought we fixed it once before.
There, but there, something else happened.
Okay.
Okay, anything else on the vouchers? A roll call, please.
Gleba?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes, everything except for our company rescue squad.
All right, Pat, what did we give you to do, or the manager?
Okay, regarding North Lincoln, you were going to speak to Christine?
Yes.
The paving, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
82 Lenape Trail, abandoned property. Condemned abandoned properties for her to put it on the next agenda. And then redevelopment, a copy of the memo to Planning Board and Board of Adjustment. With the two options, or just the memo?
Well, the memo includes the two options.
The two options.
Yeah, for comment for that.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy,
for
you
comment.
Have something you want to add?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm so excited because I was done talking about the compliment we got.
Don't give me that. You are never excited when you're done talking.
Is that supposed to get approval on the budget? Are you guys supposed to make a motion on that? Or?
Was that the formal proposal? I thought you just...
That is a good idea.
Before budget time, yeah.
All right. We do it next month. We do it next month.
There isn't any reason we can't. We do it next month if you prefer. Next meeting.
Next meeting.
Sure. Okay. We'll hold it off.
I think
when we
normally do it.
But we'll get it. Put that.
So on the bid.
Put it on the agenda, please. Okay, council remarks. This is Gleba. What do you have?
All right. Wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. And also to encourage everyone to come out December 6th for the hometown holiday. It really is a really nice event. And especially this year, since it is the ribbon cutting for the park, you know, part of our role as an elected official, we are like a town dignitarian. And I know the board members appreciate when we come out, and the businesses really do appreciate when we come out for these things. They notice when our presence is not there, so if you could come out to the ribbon cutting, it would be most appreciated. And I want to again thank Sandy and the bid. And last, if you could add this to your recap,
mm-hmm.
For Christine, just again, because it's coming towards the end of my term, if at the next meeting, whether it be an executive session or not, to get a year-end status on all the outstanding pending litigations that we have going on. Like, I'm curious to see where we are with the DPW before I leave, because I'll never be able to go to another executive session.
Right, year-end status on litigation. Okay,
that's it. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Thompson.
Happy Thanksgiving, and enjoy it.
Real quick. We were going to have an executive session this evening to do the evaluations, but with Christine not here, because she would be taking the notes and drafting the letters to the professionals
we'll
and
move it till next meeting.
Councilman Higgins, but she had also recommended in her last weekly report that we wait for the first meeting in December anyway, because they were meeting with the engineers, so Yeah, we'll just give it a finish here.
Okay. Mr. Jones?
Going along with Councilman Gleba's question, I have some questions as far as unfinished business on the course here, like what's the status on the dam? What's the status on the crosswalk down here on 57? Things like this that we have to have be brought up to date on. It seems like they have gone away.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything about
it.
That's
why we used to, with the weekly report, get a recap report these things, because sometimes I found in my term it was difficult to, you know, keep track of everything that was still open. And we did away with that report because it could be cumbersome for the manager to continually do this. I agree, there should be at least a year and a year.
These are issues that I would assume have to be addressed, you know. Mm-hmm.
The manager does give a report in the beginning of the year. I believe it usually comes in around February of past years.
We're not going to be here.
I understand that, but, you know, it'll be public record, so you can find it. But of things that have been accomplished, things that are still pending, goals for the new year, those type of things, and anything else that the manager may feel is important for the governing body to know.
Yeah, I would have thought we would have had something tonight on the SOAR project, because there were some issues that came up with that, and I would have thought we would have had to vote on it in order to proceed.
Your chairman isn't here for the sewer committee, and the manager isn't here.
And we were expecting to see something.
Yeah, so this is news to me.
Yeah. And are we going to have an executive session tonight?
Unless you have something.
The only thing was to do the professional evaluation.
Yeah, for that we'll postpone it, but everything else. Do you have anything that you want for executive?
No, I would rather have done it when the manager was here.
Okay, so we can. Just let Christine know that you want to do it for the next meeting.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Jones?
That'd be it.
Mr. Tarr, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And, I just wanted to, should have mentioned this earlier, when Sandy was giving her report, but to give an update on that corner with the follow-up, where Broad Street and 57, where Sal's had that big mess, that's been cleaned up. Yet this past week, people probably have passed by and noticed a ton of garbage was out there. Okay, that was not from Sal's restaurant, that was from the upstairs, they cleaned it out. So that was already picked up too. So they've been working hard to try to keep that, you know, since Rudy talked to them. So you know, that's it.
Mrs. Conley.
I just want to wish everyone happy Thanksgiving. I did see the manager's report regarding the food sign that she got approved for over on Union for the dollar store. I did see that on the report. I just wanted to ask Rudy one question. Is that Mr. Scrappy?
Yeah.
I don't know what I think about that kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. Mr. Scrappy, that thing that's out there over here.
The trailer. With the new street ordinance.
Did he ever move that?
He moved it just last week.
Mm.
He had to utilize it because I had a little discussion with him.
Oh, okay.
Regarding his backyard.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well,
the
front yard. I mean, that sits out there and it has.
We have multiple trailers in the borough.
Mm-hmm.
On the roadway, 24/7.
But with the new streets ordinance, they won't be there anymore.
Or
they'll be
correct.
Depending on their weight, though, right?
No. Lawn ordinance and lawn maintenance and demolition trailer?
No. It was the fire. I don't have the exact
definition. You know what I was thinking about? The trucks and buses.
Yeah, you're thinking of the trucks and the trailers.
You're talking about trailers.
Right. It's not even just lawn meat.
It's onions, too.
Okay. But
there's a lot of trailers.
Okay. That's all I want to. I came up the block today, and I was like, every week I see it sitting out.
We have one in our development, and it's actually blinding the stop sign.
I have not moved in over 7 months, and it has out-of-state plates on it, that is registered. Can't do a damn thing about it at this point.
Driver wants a street order.
But as soon as that ordinance is introduced, action can be taken, but not until then.
That'll be the next meeting, right? That's when it's...
It'll be introduced and then...
And can we get it done by the end of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were hoping, especially because of the whole snow emergency, the snow removal.
The next meeting, we can introduce it, we can pass the final meeting.
Yeah, we'd have to declare an emergency to take effect immediately.
We could do that.
Okay.
Good.
And I also would like to wish everyone a safe and happy, healthy Thanksgiving. Not this past Sunday, the Sunday before, I had a little meeting with Assemblyman John DeMeo. We walked around our downtown, we toured some of the buildings that are not up to snuff, and I asked him for any assistance that he thought his office could give. He asked me to send him an email with all the details in it. I'm still working on that email. He doesn't have it yet, but the Assemblyman was more than happy to give us any assistance in that. That he possibly could. He will look for other avenues that perhaps we haven't thought of. And I went to him because of his experience as a mayor in Hackettstown. You know, we discussed abandoned property ordinances and things of that nature. So I just want to let you, council, know that was done.
If you don't ask, you won't know.
That's right.
That's right.
You hit all cylinders, as many as you can think of. And I will be down at the League of Municipalities starting tomorrow. Rob, I believe you're going to go also.
Yeah.
And Mr. Higgins is down there already. So if any of you think of any type of information that you would like us to acquire or research, give us a text. I think you all have my numbers. And we'll do what we can to find anything like that. That's all I have. I'd accept the motion to adjourn.
So be it.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Sorry?
Bill will be down there.
Oh, yeah?
You're going to
come in soon? No. Yes.